Are you ready to ride? Get on the Earth ship. Tonight, we've got Cancerous in the studio for a rare acoustic performance live. How's everybody doing tonight?
Woohoo!
Good.
Awesome.
Oh, come on, give me a break, you guys. It's a metal band, yeah. And that's all you can do? How you guys doing tonight? Anyway, we got Cancerous here with us, one of Montana's premier metal bands, without a doubt. Definitely local favorites all across the state and the region. So it's nice to have you guys here tonight. How's it going?
It's going, man.
Just got done jamming?
Yeah, we're all warmed up.
Your fingers aren't bleeding. Dude.
Almost.
So Katie's always... fingers don't bleed unless we're jamming a different kind of music.
So who all we got here? Let's run around and do introductions for everybody so our listeners all know. I'm Roy, be piloting this thing.
I'm going to start over here. I'm Josh. I'm the, I do things with stringed instruments.
Frequently.
Guitar player. I've been lead, rhythm, guitar, both off and on, so.
He's got talented fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They felt like they were made out of Play-Doh earlier. That's what I came up with.
And I'm Katie. Motherfucking Robertson. I'm the singer, Cancerous. Loving it. Ow!
Boy, you guys are like
My name is Michael. I'm the bass player for Cancerous, and I'm the most excited person to be here tonight.
I guess. Other
than Kaylee.
Yeah, we have Kaylee, too, over here, just hanging out with us.
Fan and friend, and feel awesome to be here.
Yeah, she's actually been around for most of the time we've been a band, so that's cool to have her here as a friend. Our drummer is supposed to stop by, maybe. He had to go get cigarettes, and we're like, dude, you can't even smoke here anyway.
Drummers are kind of ADD anyway. He's seen something shiny, I'm sure, on the way. Mm-hmm. Shiny thing, rabbit, something like that.
And
we got
true.
Mr. Sean up there, the engineer. He's going to guide us through this thing, we hope.
Love you, Sean.
He has no microphone.
We got a thumbs up, hands in the air, head shaking. He's there. He's there. He's the engineer.
Yeah, he doesn't get to talk.
Oh, we let him talk all the time. Oh, no, not tonight. Hey, he don't get to talk. He doesn't have a microphone tonight. You guys took all his mics.
Uh-oh.
He gets kind of mean sometimes anyway.
There's another one. He can jump in.
Would you like a mic, Sean? Okay. We do have one for you.
We have one sitting here.
Yes, there's two very lonely microphones there.
I'm good.
Okay.
It's not working.
Oh, so... What do you guys got going on these days as far as shows coming up and stuff? Let's just jump into some shameless self-promotion here.
I love shameless anything.
Let me talk about it because I won't miss any details.
Fuck you.
Let's just start off with this.
Well, you're going to like say a band name wrong or something.
I do. I agree. Go ahead.
I'm just kidding with you.
And you trust her with the words
and
of the music?
And Sean's mean. You're mean.
Well, okay. So Sunday we have a show with the world famous Polish death metal band Decapitated. And there's some other cool bands on there. Lord Dying, who we played with here last October, I believe it was. They're from Portland. Stoner, sludge metal. Castle, who is also has a female vocalist. We went and checked them out. They're
She's
pretty
way
sweet.
Hotter than me, too.
They're also kind of like doom metal. And our good buddies from Missoula, I'm pretty sure some of them are listening, Walking Corpse Syndrome. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leif chimed in earlier on the event and everything, so I think he's probably listening.
They're like dark metal is what they kind of describe themselves as. They kind of remind me of, like, the music of Korn with, like, the vocals of Cattle Decapitation or something like that.
They remind me of, like, music that you would hear on your way to hell a lot. Like, in the entryway.
I'd say that's a good description.
I love it.
And we've been doing shows with those guys pretty much the whole time we've been a band since about 2008. So it's great to have those guys on. It's only if you get your tickets in advance, from what I understand, it's like $18 either way. So they were supposed to be cheaper, but might as well just get them at the door for $18. Hey,
that's a pretty cheap night out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, $18? Come on.
For five bands. the thing is, though, is there's going to be a line. So, like, if you actually want to see our band, who I'm pretty sure we're opening, we still don't even know that, but I'm pretty sure we're opening. So there'll be a line of people. You're going to want to get there at 6 when the doors open, if not before then. So
I already volunteered to pack gear and be a roadie for one of the other bands so I could get in. Yeah. Roadies get in.
It's interesting, the story of Decapitated, because when they started, they were like 16, 17. Their drummer was 14. They've been around for a good 15 years, and I just wanted to mention they just got in a big tour van accident.
That's their second one,
and this
one
is the
too.
Second time that it's happened to them, and they've been in a plane crash, and they've lost members to all of this. So come out and support them and help them pay their medical bills.
I was worried when they posted that they got in that wreck. I was worried the show was going to be canceled, but they're fucking troopers to keep going. Not many bands would.
So with that kind of track record, do you just all get life insurance and put the other band members down as your beneficiary so it can keep on rocking and keep going?
It's a condition of being a member at that point. You've gone through so many members that you say, well, if you're going to be in the band, you have to sign this.
Yeah.
So if you die, we get all your shit.
Yeah. So I'm new to metal, you know, within the last year or so. Always listened to it, but really, in all honesty, didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. Just started kind of getting into it. I can't even count the number of metal genres, subgenres. It's ridiculous. But gotta ask, what would you guys consider yourselves?
It's more like definitely a really strong grunge influence in there, and punk rock and stuff. So it's hard to really say that it's just...
If I had to label it, I would definitely just say metal, in general. Which I think is appropriate, because I hate those fucking subgenre bullshits.
Oh, yeah,
hard rock.
I gave up on them.
Like, we have our moments where we get pretty heavy and stuff, but it's mostly probably...
Depends on who our drummer is, on how heavy we are.
I was going to say, if Lucas was here, we could blame the metal tag on him.
Yeah, because he makes us a lot heavier.
Killing that double bass pedal.
I just sat in on that practice, and it was, like, the vocals, and then, like, I just didn't seem... super metal, but there were heavy moments and there were rock moments. There was a lot of just good stuff going on.
I think that's something that we've always prided ourselves on, is like mixing some funk in there and some metal and punk rock.
It was groovy.
Oh, good. You start talking funk. That's my thing. That's why the conga is over there. I love funk.
You should listen to our first CD then, because it has a lot of like funk influence in it. Really diverse.
Funk with metal. I'm going to have to. I'm definitely going to have to, without a doubt. So what are you guys' backgrounds as far as music?
Well,
where do you all come from musically?
I mean, I will kind of start over here. Like, my first band when I was about 16, I was a singer for, and it was like kind of like politically charged hard rock. And that's where I started. And then I moved to... And that was called Sever the Allegiance. We actually played one really huge gig, and it kind of went downhill from there. We played with the band Dope. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but that was my first entry into music. And I had a guitar, and I wasn't really that serious about playing it until I quit that band. And I was like, I want to be like Slash or something, you know, so... I started a punk band, The Chaotix. We went for like 3 or 4 years. That was like hardcore, fast punk. And by the time that band was done, we were actually evolving more into like metal stuff. So it was kind of a natural progression to this, and we've been doing this for like 7-8 years now, so that's kind of where I came from. I mean, it was influenced by like classic rock and stuff like Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, and just get crazier and crazier into different genres as I get older. So that's me.
I also wanted to tell you, I think that the Chaotix was the best punk rock band in Billings history, for real, in my opinion. You. I love that band. I really started with Cancerous as far as the scene goes. I mean, I've been singing my whole life, like plays and musicals and crap like that. But I started singing with these guys. I was originally playing guitar, Josh and Chad and me. And Jason Fashion came into the picture, so I totally got pushed out because he's just this amazing guitar player. And I was a little butthurt or whatever.
Once he agreed to play in the band, we're like, yeah, you're a singer. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, they didn't even decide that. I took some lyrics that Josh had wrote and I added to it, and I finally got up the balls to sing it. I was 16 when we started, and I was really nervous. They were older and talented. I never did that before. And I sang the song, it's called Not Down, really political, and Josh was so politically charged back then, and they all loved it. And I mean, right after the song was over, they're like, you're going to be our singer. And it was a long road for me, like, to get respect in the scene as this young girl, one of the only female singers in metal genre in this town. It was...
jealousy.
It was hard. It was hard for me. And especially from the other male singers, it was like they expected so much from me. You know, and when I was so young, I didn't really meet those standards, but now they could suck it. No, I'm just joking.
But it was never, I mean, this band was never set out to be any certain kind of music or certain kind of thing. It just happened how it did. And so we got the people that are into the really heavy metal who are like, oh, you guys are pussies. And then the guys that are like into the really super polished stuff who are like, oh, you guys are too punky. So yeah, anyway, we'll continue.
Can't fucking please anybody. We actually played a few shows without a drummer before Angel came to the picture. It was just guitars, bass, and vocalist. We did okay in that we actually built a nice fan basis without a drummer.
We used to cover a lot of Pantera, Metallica, Alice in Chains, things like that. As the years go on, we've kind of pushed covers to the side, but...
There was a show in Lockwood, I remember, and this is in the addition of a trailer house for people that haven't been there. The wood stove was cranking, Cancerous was playing, and there was a mosh pit going on. And this was before Angel joined the band. And I dropped my beer. I had a Coors Light, and I dropped it. And you know how you can balance your beer? Like a beer can, you can balance it so it'll sit on its edge. It landed like that and stayed like that while they were playing.
I remember that.
And I like stopped everybody. I was like taking pictures of it and trying to make everybody see that what was happening. But it was really interesting to
a good balance
to see that. Yeah, it was like, I mean, the acoustics in there are perfect. You can't get any better than the way it was built. But I always like to say that Cancerous was so good at that point that the Sonics themselves actually made the beer can do what it did, as opposed to someone manipulating it outside. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
So,
go, Michael.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, me.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, wait.
Sorry to interject. I started out playing punk rock. The first actual show I played, I think, was with Steve-O's band, the Blumpkins. There's actually a kick drum
yes, the
head
Blumpkins
sitting there. The Blumpkins. I was the reserve bassist. They kicked the bassist out because he was too punk or something, and they added me.
Too punk for a punk band?
Yeah. And here I am, Mr. Longhair guy. Like, all I knew, like, the only bass lines I knew at that point was, like, Cream and fucking Aerosmith and stuff like that. I had no idea of how to be punk or play punk or what. I'd grown up around the guys, but shortly thereafter, I joined Wet, and I was a replacement in that band as well. I was replacing a great bassist, Ryan Rogers, in Wet. And played a few shows with them. Well, a lot of shows with them, and we got moderate success out of it, and we had fun, and I think we were going to play on Warped Tour, but heroin fucking got in the way.
Damn.
So after that, junkie lead singer went to prison. We waited for him and started a new band around him called Dixie Dyes, and I played in that band for a couple years, and again, moderate success, and we could have had avenues. There was a festival in San Francisco we were supposed to headline, and we couldn't do it because heroin, you know. And so sad. Yeah, it is. It's really sad. And then shortly thereafter, the guy that recorded a Dixie Dyes album said, "Hey, you want to come to Reno and play bass for my band and work in a studio and live here for free?" And I was like, "Hell yeah!" And so I did the Beta Case thing, and that was. And this is all. It's like post-punk. Like, it's heavy. It's heavy music, but it was never metal. It was never anything approaching metal. And it was all more artsy-fartsy, I guess you could say. All the stuff I've ever done. And
it was so different from anything around this region, at least. I've never heard anything like it.
Right, and we still have people that are like, can I hear that? Can I have that? Can I see that?
I still listen to it.
Me too. Heroin aside, I still listen to it. Josh Hirst is probably the biggest music genius ever to fucking live here.
Well, and he's a legend in Billings, which means, I mean, I didn't want to bring up his name or anything. I didn't want to name him by name, but it's not surprising that people like myself and Tyler and Chris would follow him around because, you know, we were greenhorns compared to where he'd been. You know, his old band had, Krunk had offers from Geffen Records, you know, and they were on the verge of stardom when the shit went down with them. So followed him around for a while, and when he wouldn't get clean, I had to quit. So I quit Dixie Dyes, and I waited around. Nothing happened. About 6 months later, I had the Beta Case opportunity, so I got to go work in a full professional studio. I mean, as good as it gets, and we recorded an album down there. We did some show promotion and stuff, and not long after that, I found myself back in Billings, and Joshy's band, Cancerous, Joshy and Katie, which will always be Cancerous.
Right.
That's what's funny to me. There's some controversy about the band name.
Some X members are pretty buttered about it.
But it's those two that make this band, and there was an opening, and they needed a bassist, so here I am.
I will say, too, also add that this whole time prior to him joining the band, he was always, like, our number one fan and supporter. And even though he's my brother, you know, still, like, he would always talk us up and help us out.
Put him on a lot of shows.
Oh, and when you left for Reno, I was so sad. I missed you so much.
I missed everybody here.
Yeah.
Which is why I kept coming back.
Obviously. We need you here, Michael. You're needed. Doesn't it feel good to be needed?
You don't even know. Oh, man.
So I'm getting anxious to hear something, especially something acoustic out of you guys. That's one of my favorite things since the time I started listening to metal and everything is the opportunities I get to hear metal bands and people that play metal do acoustic. It's really something special. And, you know, just listening to it, it's almost like listening to classical. It gets so technical at times. And to hear it acoustic's really different. So, you up for playing something for us? Ready to do a tune?
Do you want to do... can we let Lucas talk about himself?
Yeah.
Can we let Lucas talk about himself? The late guy, Lucas. Lucas, you're late, man.
We just got done telling our backgrounds. Do you want to tell them yours?
I was driving here. And you wouldn't believe, I stared at this thing. I can't explain.
Fucking
drum. It's okay, you're a drummer. It was a shiny thing. And
it took me half an hour to realize it was a gum wrapper.
What'd I say, shiny things, drummers?
I know, I heard. Squirrel. I was tuned in. And you got up to...
We're going to forgive you because you're wearing a peace sign on your shirt. So.
You're like musical background.
And it says what, Paul's Pancake Parlor?
For real, have you been there?
Oh, no, I haven't, but my roommate's been taunting me with pancakes for
Missoula,
a while now.
Man.
So.
That's where it's at.
Pancakes and peace signs, hey, you can't go wrong.
So if we're going to jump into Lucas's influences and the bands he's been in and what he's done.
Oh, dude, the list is going to
be at least an hour.
I think since he's late, you guys should get to tell his story for him.
Oh,
wow. We might have some trouble.
Do you know? Our first interaction with Lucas Tully was when he recorded our first album. He produced it, mastered it, whatevs. Did a great job. We had an awesome time. It took us, 4 months because we partied so much. We had such a good time. I mean, it's obvious on the album that we fucking partied a lot.
Yeah.
But it was fun, and that's when Lucas really came into the picture, like, strong with our band. I'll let you. I don't know what band you were in at the time, but...
At the time, I was in Attic Dust, and my first band was a punk band called Ender.
Ender!
Back then, I listened to, a lot of Bad Religion and, MXPX, and just a mix of the 90s stuff that was on the radio. And then in high school, I got into, harder stuff, not metal. I never really got into metal until I was 25, and but it was Korn and fucking Limp Bizkit and all that shit. I liked it a lot. Dude, Korn Issues was awesome.
No Dizzle.
I remember watching that on MTV and just get giddy every time it came on.
And that kind of stuff has a big influence on our band, nu metal, for sure. A lot of people are scared to kind of admit those influences, or just say, oh, we didn't like that. We only liked Metallica or whatever, but we're not scared to say that the newer stuff has a big influence on us.
I love new music. Why fucking hang on to the past, man?
Keep it moving forward. Progress into something new. Take it past where you found it. That's what I think it's about. Take it someplace else.
Right?
We all even love Lady Gaga, too.
Hell yeah. So.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That'd be a crime if you didn't
like it. I like dubstep. A lot of people give me shit because I like dubstep, but I love dubstep.
I love pop locking and dancing. Yeah.
You'll have to show me later.
Shit's awesome.
Well, anybody that has the gall to say that it's all been done before is obviously missing the point, because it hasn't. Where there's always a new horizon. There's always something different, a different sound, a different combination of sounds. Shit that hasn't been done before. Yeah, Mozart and all those guys were great, yeah, but they're fucking dead, and they're not making new music, so we have to fill the void, right?
Yep.
All right, so what other bands were you in, Lucas? We're gonna move along here.
after Attic Dust... we just basically switched out the bass player and went a little more indie. Attic Dust was all Rise Against or whatever have you. It was a little more angry, I guess.
Because you guys were dust addicts?
Yeah. And then since high school also, it was a weird mix, but Modest Mouse, all the way. Those guys, everything that they've done and are doing... is awesome. And in an idiot kid, you can hear that a lot.
Oh yeah.
But you were saying, keep the music going. A lot of people don't like newer things that Modest Mouse puts out, because it's not going to be
the same
your favorite album that was put out 10 years ago. They're working with Outkast. Big Boy is producing some of their songs. They get this real groovy in some of their songs, and it's tight, because they started as a shitty little garage indie band, and now I think it's awesome. They're cool. And now I'm here, and it depends on the day what I listen to. Everything.
Well, for what it's worth, Modest Mouse isn't yet cool enough to have been interviewed on this radio show, so
no, not even.
Lucas was kind of, he started jamming with us, and we kind of just were like, well, you're in the band now. And we went on tour, and...
He's too nice of a guy to say no. That's the problem.
No, it was good.
We didn't want anyone else. We've always wanted Lucas.
It's been a year ago. We did a week-long tour, and that was nuts, man.
It was a good experience for all of us, though. We all learned from it. Me and Josh got into a fist fight. Well, I punched him.
Well, you say that. I was just thinking about that.
I know, I punched him one time.
Well, if everything goes right, one of these days you'll be like on a year-long tour.
Yeah,
I would love that.
Trying to unhitch
my
the trailer
by
himself.
My kid's old enough now to where I can do shit like that.
Yeah, I was all sloppy, belligerent, drunk, and I was like, I'm unhooking this trailer. You guys should just leave me here. I'll sleep in the fucking equipment trailer.
And I can't remember why I punched you, but like within 20 minutes we were like, I love you, man. And Lucas is like, I don't get that.
I don't get you
do
guys.
That. Anyway, the next day it was like nothing ever happened. That's what being a band's all about, man. Just fucking let it go.
It even sometimes we're stuck stuff like together. That kind of fuels your passion,
stage
and your
rage
energy and stuff. So yeah.
So what are you gonna do for us there?
Well, the main song that we always have done acoustic would be Oxygen, so I suppose we'll
do
give that a whack.
We can do Never Enough, too.
We're not going to, like, sit here like, what do you think about it?
There's some drums right behind you, too, Lucas, if you want.
Yeah. That'd be so cool.
If you're interested.
Yeah. We didn't have time to prepare to, like, have the whole band acoustic, but...
Another time we would definitely.
It was her
love
idea.
To do that.
She's
was
the
my
she's
idea.
The one that said, "Yeah, we can do some acoustic stuff." I'm like, "Cool, let's
all
do
right,
it."
Let's do Oxygen.
Okay. She didn't tell the rest of you.
No.
Well, I just told Nick.
Found out tonight.
Found out tonight.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. All right.
I wanna be your oxygen, just for a moment. I wanna be the ground you walk on for a little while. And I wanna feel the feelings that you feel when no one's around you. And I wanna taste your soul and anchor in the eye of your storm. Every little word you say I linger on, and it's cruel. Even if you don't feel the way I do, I wanna hear the sounds that you'd make if I whisper in your ear. And I wanna know the things that you know, no secrets in here. And I wanna live inside of your brain and be the thoughts that are so clear. I wanna be the electricity, current flowing through you. imagine just for a moment. I wanna be the electricity current flowing through you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
I don't think I've ever really, really heard you, because I'm used to, you know, shows and the loud and that. Wow, that was amazing.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
It's kind of making the hair on the back of my neck stand up, without a doubt.
So I hate to like talk at myself, but I love that song so much that it still gives me goosebumps. I fucking love
it. So
that song.
Where'd that song come from? Who in the band wrote that?
I came with the lyrics to practice one day, and I sang it to them. And I kind of had some like crappy guitar riff. I'm not that good of a guitar player, but I sang the lyrics and they loved it, and we played it, and it was so unlike anything we've ever played before. And I don't know, we took it, and it's probably our most popular song.
It's a great song, without a doubt.
For what it's worth, I most certainly didn't write it sitting in a chair, so. No, and it's a lot different. Electric. We modified how we play it. There's parts that aren't there and all that. So
it's super sexy. This is acoustic.
Yeah.
Even when I have like my acoustic sets, sometimes I'll invite Josh to play that song because it's heavy hitting. It's a powerful song.
Oh, without a doubt, it hits on a lot of levels.
Thank you.
A lot of levels.
Makes me want to cry.
Oh,
cry.
It's actually Lucas did a loop of it that totally brought out the creepy side of it. It's a creepy song. It's about obsession. Well, and his loop of Oxygen.
Welcome to America.
Made, right?
Everybody's obsessed with something. It's a pretty sick place out there in the world when you go outside.
Just don't go outside.
There you
right.
go.
Problem solved.
Ish. Just take acid all the time and never leave your house. Problem solved.
If you go on our our website or our Reverb Nation, that song is the best quality one that wasn't messed with or anything. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and try to make excuses for us, but we had some problems go wrong on the mastering of our latest album, so that is going to be fixed. But that'll be the first song that plays on our website, our Reverb Nation, and it's probably the best sounding recording that we have, so go check that out.
Oh, yeah. We got some updates coming to our website soon, too, www.cancerous.com. Should be done within the next week or so.
That's a .com.
Not very many people.
Not very many. Not very many.
My mom's a real fucking pro.
They're hard to get nowadays. Everybody's, you know, it's like searching for a new chord.
Right.
Everybody's found them already.
Right. Well, there was that whole, and I want to say this was early 2000s when people would go out and buy domain names. Mm-hmm. Like before, like, the artist got popular or whatever, they'd buy the domain name.
And then
so when the artist got bigger, they had to buy it from them at some insane premium just to have their own band name on their website.
I'm guilty of that.
No way.
Hey, that's venture capitalism.
I would myrtleize somebody if they did that to
Merca.
Us.
I didn't do it with anybody's name or anything, but I did it with a business name that I knew a few people were going to use and still sitting on those
Washington
domains.
Washington Redskins, you jacked
values
that.
Values going up. That's called speculation.
It is.
It's a good business practice. You know, great business practice.
It works.
So much for ethics.
Ethics? There's no room for ethics in capitalism.
Not in business.
I was like, that doesn't even go.
Not even. Josh doesn't know it, but I registered his name as a domain name. You want to buy your name, Josh?
Joshlining.com.
I'll sell it to you.
Joshua.
Don't go to that site, by the way.
It's
and if you don't buy it from me, I'm going to sue your ass for using my domain name.
We actually had an issue one time with this guy that was using our name. And Josh wrote him a real professional letter, like a cease and desist letter.
Lies. He was a juggalo and Josh cursed
him. He creamed him, dude.
Well, it started out like we basically had like a poor man's copyright on a bunch of our stuff. Like we had sent it to the Library Congress and like well documented that we've had this name, and I found this guy trying to use it, and like I was just like, dude, like we had this first, and he's like, he like went in on this rampage about it. He was gonna like cut my nuts off and shit.
Basic juggalo bullshit.
Do you really want to touch my nuts that bad?
He stopped though.
Yeah, he
and the room suddenly gets quiet.
I mean, I assume since he's a juggalo that he eats cat feces, and wasn't smart enough to like look into it too much.
Nothing personal to any of the juggalos.
While he's not smoking meth or fucking his sister, he's eating cat feces. So.
Well, his mom ate cat feces when she was pregnant with him. Is what I meant to say. My bad.
Okay, that's the end of that.
Go for it, Lucas. You haven't had much to say since you got here yet.
It's kind of a pussy.
About the dispute or the...
Oh, just pick a subject. It's wide open.
I don't know. How's your day?
He's kind of a juggalo, so he's really uncomfortable about it.
Lucas and I both have our own radio shows on here on mtradio.net, if you didn't know.
For real. If you don't know, then now you know.
Saturday is mine at 6, Sunday's his at 3. And we play local music and talk about whatever we want. So
this is like a family reunion.
Yeah. You going to hold out? Are you going to let together. The listeners know what the name of those shows are?
Yeah, mine's Demanding Progress, and his is The Vent with Sekul.
Maybe mention the name
has
of the show.
The and that would be on mtradio.net,
where you're listening.
Yeah, you could see it right on
cancerous.
There. Cancerous. We've had a lot of issues with
misspelled,
that.
Misspelled, mispronounced.
We've probably had our name misspelled on flyers. At
oh,
least like
and that's not as
times.
Bad as like, because the first time we saw our name on a marquee, it was fucking misspelled and it was heartbreaking.
I own Seriously. A t-shirt from a Montana metal battle
where it's spelled wrong.
Yeah, and it's spelled wrong on the back.
Yeah, I have that shirt,
well,
too.
Well, people like, okay, when you say it, cancerous, obviously they think it's probably spelled the way that it's supposed to be.
Well, why would you do that?
Yeah, that's not
that
very
I honestly
that
think that...
makes
that
way too much
it's,
sense.
It's fucking unprofessional to not fucking check and see how the band name is spelled.
Well, there was like a thrash metal band in the 80s called Cancerous, but it was spelled the
like
right
how
way.
It's pouch.
So, well, it's
so,
it's okay because
so
you,
right
you wouldn't have been able to read the logo anyway. So
it looked like a pile of sticks on the ground.
At some point, I do want to brag about some of the bands we've played with too.
Oh hell yeah!
Oh god, here's the next hour of the show.
I'll just probably go with the major ones, which is Soulfly.
Who's my favorite band?
Who's like yeah, definitely one of our big influences and friends, and then. Soil, those were both within the last year. We did,
I would say our last year has been more successful and productive than our entire.
Well, I haven't even
7 years
been in the,
before.
I haven't even been in the band for a year, and I've got to play with Soil and Glass Cloud and Straight Line Stitch and
Straight
fucking
line stitch.
just
rocking
some
it.
Amazing, amazing groups, and very good. And that's. It's saying something.
So, what are your... We're over halfway through the show. What are some of your goals? Where are you going to go from here with this?
We definitely want to go on a tour. A big tour. It's definitely going to be self-funded. I don't see us get signed anytime soon. But fuck that. You don't need that noise.
Within the next year, we'd also like to get some, better quality recordings
Absolutely.
Out there. Basically just do all the things that bands are supposed to do. We don't really harbor any illusions about, like, becoming rich, famous rock
yeah.
stars. Like,
that's
not
retarded.
What we want to do either. Like, we're not going to write Nickelback songs.
Right. I am totally satisfied with being a fucking underground band for the rest of my life. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind coming home and working a day job.
We just want to get into some new regions. You know, we played quite a bit in Montana and Washington a little and stuff, but we want to just expand on what we're doing and get out there more and meet new people.
Next level it.
Well, like, and with the way the business model works these days, I mean, Trent Reznor just came out and said that buying music is a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's
You don't get famous by selling records anymore. That's not how it works. Mm. You got to tour, you got to get on festivals, you got
to
have
a large... It.
Yeah, you have to work your ass off for
it's
it.
Like, people got to like you personally. It's
kind of sad in a way that the business side of music is actually probably more important than the actual music anymore.
You know, and I hate to say
that. At least as important.
You know, you and I have had some discussions and stuff on Facebook with some threads, and yeah, the music's got to be good. The business has got to be perfect.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be all the T's crossed, the I's dotted, the business model that you're working off of, everything else. If you don't have the business model and have it right, I hate to say it, how good your music is really doesn't matter.
Because there's millions of fucking good bands.
Yeah.
And like all the successful bands that we know personally that are successful in their own right, like Walking Corpse Syndrome, Element A440, their fucking business part is a huge part of what they're doing. And we've learned a lot from them. I've learned a lot from both of those bands.
And like band, kind of somewhat regional bands like Hemlock and...
Yeah.
Like the guy from Hemlock is the one who told us to just, as long as me and Katie are doing this, he's like, keep your band name.
And
like,
none of those bands are signed. It. They are self-funded bands. And
that's the way to go anymore. And honestly, if it gets to a point, you can, sadly, once again, you can buy your way on to tours, buy your way in with certain producers, any of that kind of stuff. Like, those options are there. But as far as, like, getting to the point where we're letting someone else write our music, no.
No way.
Well, never. It's crazy. If you look at Billings, Montana music over the last 15, 20 years, and I'm talking, I've been around, I've been to shows for a long time. I've seen a lot of amazing, amazing bands. Krunk was one I brought up earlier that they could have easily been on that wave with Limp Bizkit and Korn and all that shit. They could have done that, you know. You look at Spurge. Spurge was playing with huge bands for years and years. You know, they were considered one of the best bands in the Northwest, but they never made it past that point. Now, you look at the last 10 years, and you see Sean Lynch with 1090 Club. That's probably as close as Billings or Montana has come to getting the recognition and getting the people following and paying attention to what they're doing, you know. No Cigar's working really, really hard towards what they're doing now, but it's nearly impossible. I mean... It's a sea of merch.
Yeah, and it's like you're working towards this goal of something that doesn't happen anymore. Right.
Well, and there's a key person that you need with that whole thing to make it happen.
Same.
And yeah. That's the producer. And it's hard to find one and find a good one, and that's a publicist. There's key people that you need working with your band besides your label that's backing you. You need your publicist that's backing you. You need your manager. You need your booking agent. And these are all key people. And trying to build that network, especially in a region like this, there just aren't that many people to fill those shoes for the band. So you got to do it yourself. And there's no blueprint.
Which
there's
I've nobody been guiding you how to do it. And I do want to say...
Josh is a great manager.
I do want to give a big shout out to somebody that used to be in our band, Angel Campbell, because she is the one who kind of started to teach me about the business side of things. And
she cracked the whip and made us get serious about it.
She made it apparent how important it was if you want to do something with it. Like, our goal was just to be able to do tours, you know, just because going and playing other cities and having people enjoy your music is like the best feeling ever for me.
Yeah. It's different playing outside of Billings. Like, you get treated like a rock star when you're a touring band. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, there's 100 people at the show or 10, like, they still treat you really good.
And they think you're a big deal when you're really not.
I like that aspect. That's nice.
You know, and yeah, being signed to a label, you mentioned that. That's what that means has changed so much.
It just means that you're giving 90% of everything you make to somebody that has nothing to do with your music.
Well, and not even that. I mean, starting out with the lower labels, you know, like the label I have, works specifically with artist development and getting the contract ready to sell to a larger label. Then in that sale, you've got the other labels and the other people, publicists and everything there to help negotiate that for you to where you don't get screwed and you owe them. I mean, like, a big shout out if you're a musician. Don't ever take an advance from a major label. It's selling your soul to Satan.
Big time.
You're
going
to owe them for the next X number of years. It used to be you sold a 3-album deal. You came in on a major label and you signed a contract and you did 3 albums. You went out and you put out 3 albums and they put you on tour and everything. And then you're out of your contract. Not now. They'll bring you in and they'll pump you all up. We're going to put you on tour. We're going to give everybody in the band $100,000 each, you know, live off of and go on tour and everything. You'll pay that back over time with merch sales, everything, stuff like that. 2 years later, you find out you haven't even started to touch that money in paying it back and you owe them. And they will sue you for it. I've seen this happen to a lot of
bands. Well, what do they do when you don't have anything to take?
Plus, it's all spent. Yep. By the time they come for it,
oh, I would spend $100,000 in a year. Easy.
Well, there's a lot of
on the road,
people.
It's easy to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, I don't know what you would call them, but, like, musical predators out there. I've had labels approach us and stuff that were like, oh, we'll do this and that and this and that for you. And it's like, you look into them further, and a lot of times you'll find out they're not legit or they want something completely unreasonable out of you to do their bidding.
I like that.
They just
want
to use
predator.
You to advertise with theirs. Like, it's...
Yeah,
well, it's
I've
a matter
a
of do you making everything in the music business when you move up is made on the back end. Nothing's made up front. And if they're a label and they're out there and they want to make money off the front end, that kind of makes me nervous. You make money off the back end. You work with your band, you build your band, you develop your band, you give them your full attention, and you start shopping the contract, you sell the contract, the band makes money, you make money, and then everybody moves forward and loves each other. You know, for everything to happen. That's the way it ideally should work. You know?
Look at bands like OTEP. They've never been signed.
Mm-hmm.
They're the biggest underground metal band in the world, and they're fucking rich.
Yeah.
They've never had to go through any of that bullshit, and it's inspiring to see that, because you don't have to, you know...
Even a lot of even bigger bands you see nowadays are going completely independent.
It's a smart thing to do. And even, like, Project Independent with Jeff Totten, like, he'll tell you, like, you don't need a manager. You don't need to be signed to a label.
No. And the playing field is level.
You just need to have a good product.
Right.
The playing field's level now with the fact that they've pretty much quit selling CDs unless a major store orders CDs like Walmart or somebody. They don't make them. And so anybody can go out and they can cut an album if it's good and have the tracks put on CD Baby, put on iTunes, everywhere else, and sell it at the same profit margin as what the major labels sell it.
Right. And
I mean, it's leveled the playing field.
That's true. And honestly, we've made a lot of money off of our not-so-great sounding CDs.
Well, and even you look at even Project Independent, if you really want to break it down for a minute... You know, you gotta pull your weight.
Oh yeah,
you have to have,
and especially they've got a new system now. Like, you have to be selected. It's not just any band anymore. You have to be pretty freaking special to be on that now.
But they're sorry.
I was just gonna say, I just got the countdown on time and stuff. Do you got one more song in you, Josh? There, you get it.
Do I look like it?
You guys been practicing everything tonight. I got to roll out with some sponsor stuff and thank all the people that help us put this together and everything. And yeah, if you got one more in you, we'd love to hear it as we roll out tonight.
We'll give it a shot.
Okay, well, while he's getting ready for it and everything there, I'd like to give a shout out to Legendary Tattoo and Art. for being one of our sponsors. Definitely some of the best ink you're ever going to find. Yellowstone Valley Brewing, keep us in beer around the station here and give us growlers and stuff like that. Yeah. Yellowstone Cellars and Winery, you want to listen to some great music, acoustic stuff. It's a great place to go down and play or listen to it. Wednesday night's open mic night, and Friday and Saturday night they have acts down there. And then, of course, MT Radio and Lennox Technologies for making the space available and putting this whole thing on. So a big shout out to Mr. Sean over there. He's the founder, the guy with the dream, the vision, and everything else. And definite thanks to Cancerous and
woo-woo!
And to all the fans that listen and keep going to their shows and buying their merch and all that kind of stuff so that we can keep hearing more.
I don't even like to call you guys, and for anybody that's listening, I don't like to call you guys fans. I like to call you supporters, because I feel like when I call people fans, that's like putting me above them somehow. So thanks to our supporters.
I like the word friends.
Friends.
Thank you, Roy, for having us on, letting us play.
Yeah.
Let's chat at you.
We're going to give this a shot. If I mess up,
I'll cover for you.
I blame Katie.
Everything.
I'm not used to playing the grandpa's guitar, so.
That's okay. Well, let her rip, Josh.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for joining the ride on the airship.
This is called Never Enough. From reality, it makes me feel like I have lost every single part of me. And sometimes I am tempted to break free, but I can't let go. It might sound crazy to some, but I don't trust what they think they know. My sorrow, I can't do enough, I can't do enough, 'cause nothing seems to please you. I would like to make it clear that I'd do anything, it will serve you best not to relinquish on the man.